Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami JC, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 101 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is July 31st. Took a week off last week because I needed it. 100 episodes is a lot, and I know I took like a bunch of breaks in between, like, I don't know, like 60 and 100 or something like that, but like, you don't understand what it's like, or maybe you do, and you feel my pain, and that's cool too. That's all I got on that. So we are going to get right into the headlines, and then we are going to get to know these guests that I have. I have two of them this time. It's going to be a great show. So put your ear holes on the headphones, unless you're driving. Don't do that. And maybe not if you're working, because then your boss will yell at you and you'll get in trouble. Okay, anyway, let's get into the headlines. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez introduced a bill to the House this week that would effectively ban the U.S. military from recruiting on Twitch. This comes after recent spotlight has been put on the U.S. Navy and Army for their appearances on Twitch and on Twitter in the form of esports leagues, which have been formed since 2018, all of which were created and used as a means of recruitment. AOC introduced the bill, which would have been an amendment of the House Committee on Appropriations bill, which is a part of the process in which the Pentagon gets its annual budget set. It's very confusing. The bill failed to pass, with about 103 Democrats joining Republicans in opposition. Ocasio-Cortez gave a speech on the House floor saying, quote, "Children should not be targeted in general for many marketing purposes in addition to military service. Right now, children on platforms such as Twitch have been bombarded with banner ads linked to recruitment sign-up forms that can be submitted by children as young as 12 years old. These are not education outreach programs for the military." AOC may have been referring to earlier this month when Twitch told the Army to stop sharing fake prize giveaways promising prizes, but instead linking participants to a recruitment page. A recent email phishing scam has been making the rounds, asking for players' information in exchange for access to Cyberpunk 2077's beta. Cyberpunk 2077's developers, CD Projekt Red, have asked players to take caution when finding such emails and to be reminded that emails from developers always come from an @cdprojektred.com address, and that any information or access to beta versions of the game will never come from a third party. A handy new Game Boy-like console is now on the market. The Analog Pocket is described by its creators as a multi-video game system portable handheld. The Game Boy S console is compatible with over 2,000 video games, including those from the Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advanced, Game Gear, Neo Geo Pocket, and more. You will need the original cartridge to pick up and play any video game on the handheld, but provided you have that, the Pocket is completely playable out of the box and features up to 10 hours of gameplay, a SD card slot, a charger, so no switching batteries, and mappable buttons, as well as an LCD display. The Analog Pocket will cost $200 and will be available on August 3rd. And finally, a Suikoden spiritual successor by the name of Yuden Chronicle, or Whedon Chronicle, raised $1.5 million in one day on Kickstarter, because it seems Konami is not going to be reviving the very popular title. Some of the original developers from the game have decided to come together to create a new story with 100 recruitable characters, which is very classic for Suikoden. From the looks of things, in addition to the traditional JRPG fashions of battle and leveling up, you will also use many of your 100 heroes to fortify your fortress town by creating walls, weapons, and even restaurants and farms. The current estimated release date for Yuden Chronicles, I'm probably saying that wrong, Whedon Chronicle, is October 2022. And those are just some of the headlines for this week. If you want to chat more about any of those headlines or you got some comments you want to make, be sure to tweet at me at CommonJaceGaming or at WKCooldown on Twitter, or join the Discord and let's talk about it. You know, talking. The one thing we can do, as long as you wear a mask, because that's how 2020 is. Wear a mask, stay 6 feet away or more. Honestly, 6 feet's not enough. If I can still see you in my vision, it's not enough. I'm kidding. I'm sociable. Anyway, we have two guests here who've been waiting patiently to start talking. And one of them's going to wait a little longer because we're going to talk to the newest one who hasn't been on the show before first. Get to know them a little bit before we bring in the other. So, with that being said, please put your hands together for Quentin.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. A little tired. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie. Been working on a project until late, early in the morning, so... Mm. Yep.
It'd be like that. It truly do be like that.
It does. Usually it's gaming, but not lately.
Mm-mm. It's just projects. If you have the time in these corona-filled times of ours. I didn't want to say time again. Well, welcome to the show. I very much am happy and glad to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about you, the gamer dude. Let's get into it. What have you been playing this week? Let's start there.
Oh, I'm gonna get in trouble here because I don't think that I've opened up a game in the past week.
Oh no.
Definitely in the past two. I have had some friends, including the other guest you have here, we don't talk about him, but they've been trying to get me to play World of Warcraft again. So I've downloaded that and I'm currently trying to set up my UI. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I haven't actually played anything lately. I've had a few that are kind of on my backlog, but I haven't really had the interest to hop into them yet.
It's hard. It's hard to jump back into the backlog.
And it is.
For as much as I've wanted to kind of get back into some of the games in my backlog, I got completely distracted by Death Stranding. Mm-hmm. And now I can't seem to pick up the other games that I wanted wanted to get through, because I was like, well, now I just don't feel like it. What do I do now?
It's one of those games where you just kind of, it'll take a little while.
Yeah. I mean, but for what it's worth, I did finish it, but it did. I mean, it took me, I think I have 60 hours logged. So it took me a while. I was building a lot of roads. It's just kind of what I do. So, I mean, let's say you're not having like a project to do, or mm-hmm. you were going to tackle a backlog. What are you looking at? What games are we looking at?
My genre lately, I guess, in the last few years is mostly MMOs or RPG style games. My all time favorite series, of course, is the Zelda series. That is like my anything that's Zelda based. If it releases, I will probably go and get it. That's why I have my Switch. Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for potential Breath of the Wild 2?
Well, I am very excited for Breath of the Wild 2. Although I am firmly not expecting it this year by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping next year, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I know that we've been teased with one trailer, but...
Just one. That's all you get.
Yeah.
Until God knows when.
And Nintendo will just, like, they'll just suddenly be like, hey, here's another trailer, and by the way, it's releasing tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds like them. That sounds like something they do.
It's kind of nicer than like some companies where they're like, yeah, we're going to tell you the release date in 3 months.
And then three months happens.
Yeah. And then release date 3 years from now.
Yeah. Where is it? Gone.
If it ships on time.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a few games that I was following that just kind of disappeared. But that's why I stopped paying attention to all of these pre-release games after a certain future next game was canceled.
Which one's that? Please tell us.
EverQuest Next.
Oh, that's right.
Too soon.
Sad. Ripperoni, as they say. That's what the gamers say. So I hear. I'm on Twitter.
Me too. It's a scary place.
Honestly, the worst, but I love it. It's like a bad television show.
Oh, yeah.
Great. So we've gotten to know you a bit as a gamer. Let's dig into like your gamer origins, as they were. Like, can you recall your first video game or like a video game from your past that, kind of like makes you who you are? As a gamer.
I can't remember my first video game. I do remember that I played like various video games when I was younger, but I can't remember a whole lot of them. A few that kind of jump out to me when you asked this was more, I remember when I was fairly young, I'm guessing probably around 6 or 7-ish, with the original Game Boy, the lovely black and white one, and The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Was on it, and that was my first Zelda game. That was one of the first games that I can remember playing, and it just had a really, really strong impact, along with Pokemon Blue,
of course,
because of course Pokemon, that's my generation,
right?
But yeah, just the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening just had a really, really strong impact on me, and it still is one of my favorite Zelda games. Not my top one, but one of my favorites. And it was also recently redone for the Switch, which I was really excited for. I really enjoyed that game. And yeah. I, of course, bought it day one and replayed it all. Still great.
Relive the nostalgia, but in like an up-resed kind of graphical engine.
Exactly. And it's always nice to get like new music, new mixes. Mm-hmm. And of course, the visuals were great. But you're talking about some of like the backstory here. I can give you, I guess, a little bit of short history. Most of my gaming career, I guess, started probably towards the end of the late 90s with Diablo 1. Oh. I played a lot of online Diablo 1, and then I switched over to Diablo 2. That's where I got my start. And I played that for a number of years, and then I was part of one of my friends had invited me to their clan, and this clan had a website. They were a very, very large group. And I was looking through all the different games that they were kind of in, because I'm like, okay, I kind of feel like I want to try something else. Mm-hmm. And one game in particular kind of caught my eye, and I was doing a lot of research, looking up on things. And I eventually decided that, yep, you know what? This game looks really cool. I want to play it. Let's do that. And that was EverQuest. Mm-hmm. And I started playing EverQuest, and that was great. But I played that for a few months, and I really enjoyed it. It was difficult. There was a lot of really cool people I met. It was a really cool experience. But then EverQuest 2, the sequel, was being released. So I'm like, all right, great. Let's hop on this brand new game. It's awesome, new, great. I did not know anything about Warcraft at that point. I didn't touch World of Warcraft for a number of years. But I played EverQuest 2 for quite a few years. And then eventually at some point I did burn out on EverQuest 2. I think it was probably 6 or 7 years in.
Wow.
And then I swapped over to a bunch of pre-release communities, and I started playing, or I started following one called Plains of Talara, which eventually got renamed to Rift. And we were part of a number of fan site communities. I met a lot of really cool friends who I'm still in touch with today. And some of those people, eventually we played that for a while, and we kind of hopped around games for a while. Again, visiting the aforementioned EverQuest Next and Landmark games before kind of settling into my current game, I guess, which would be Final Fantasy XIV, and which is currently kind of in the middle of things, and so I'm hopping over to WoW for a bit. But I kind of swap back and forth between a whole bunch of MMOs. For the most part, the games that I play tend to be RPGs and or like puzzle strategy sort of games, like Portal. Love Portal.
So I could not trick you into like one Call of Duty.
No, if there's any game that I'm terrible at, it is FPS games. I've played them. I do enjoy them sometimes. I really enjoyed Fear, First Encounter, Assault.
Oh, yeah.
Recon?
I think so. I think
that's it's been a while.
Scary FPS games are the best.
They are. I did play a little bit of Overwatch now and then with some friends. Like, I don't mind them. I'm really, really bad at them.
I feel that. I understand.
Fear had a multiplayer way back when, and I used to play that for a while. And after like weeks or months of playing this, I finally got up to a ratio of 2-1. Every time that I died twice, I managed to take down one person with me.
Oh, I was expecting the other 2-1, but you know what?
Yep, that's my skill.
Take your half wins where you can get them.
Exactly.
Well, that's honestly, it sounds reminiscent of my own background in video games, so I'm very happy to have had you share that with us and the listener. And now we're going to go get that other guy. What's his name again? I want to say John.
Jack?
Does that sound right? Jack?
Joe?
Hey, other guy, you want to introduce yourself? You want to say hi?
I've been called plenty of things.
Everyone,
Jack and John seem a lot nicer than this. Hi, it's me, your boy, Peter.
Yes, please welcome Peter / what I call him all the time, Flatus.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. What have you been playing this week? You have to have been playing something. You can't have two people who have not been gaming.
Not a lot, but I have been sneaking in, like, you know, late night gaming.
Oh.
I have the week off. I just recently purchased a home.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're an adult.
And it's that's scary. and so I've been working on the house. So I just finished painting all the major rooms today. So that's all done. So when I've been getting home, I've been beaten and sore. And then I've been doing some just fun, like, five-man hard content. Wow, like Mythic Pluses. We did that last night. So. And that's fun. It's just relaxing and fun, simple, hard content. And it's simple and fun, or simple and hard don't normally get together in the same sentence. But the difficulty can ramp up the higher the number you go. So it's difficult, but challenging enough for us where, like, for returning players, it's like, oh, okay, well, let's watch out, not die.
Right. Yeah.
And then we got a piece of gear out of it. So I now have weird calamari shoulder pads. So
we love calamari shoulder pads here.
That's what I have.
Fried or grilled?
Still kicking.
Oh,
apparently.
Even better.
Yeah. So I've been playing that, and then just taking little breaks and playing, like, mobile games, at the new house. So I've been playing Dr. Mario, I enjoy Dr. Mario, so I'm gonna play it. The song is so good.
Keeping up with World of Warcraft, whatever the expansion name is, and Dr. Mario. Wonderful. What expansion are we on with WoW? I can't remember.
It's finishing up BFA. They're going to be launching Shadowlands this fall.
I'm not mistaken, is like a nearly one to maybe one and a half like copy-ish of Shadowbringers for 14? No?
Not at all. Nothing like that. I don't want to go into the complete, like, lore nerd section, but I know way too much lore about World of Warcraft. If you know Anonymous or Ethis Asher, I am that for World of Warcraft. So essentially we're traveling, in Shadowbringers, right, we're going to the First, which is an offshoot of Eorzea, right? Like, it's just Eorzea, but a different version of Eorzea.
A new land.
Shadowlands, we're literally crossing over into the world of the dead, essentially. And this is where all spirits go after they die. And we're going there to find out why the Jailer, which is a character that we have never heard of, don't know about, and has not been in the lore before this, is working with Sylvanas, who's been in the lore for such a long time, and why she, her last words in the big, like, reveal, like, kind of trailer for, like, you know, what they launched at BlizzCon last year. We know when people could do things. Like, why is it that she wants to free us from our world, or what, you know, the world is a prison and she's going to free us all. Mm-hmm. Why that's such a big thing. And we're going to go find that. And they've been teasing this world, right? This world has been there in the lore, theoretically, forever. So, but they're now just getting to it. And it just proves how much work and love and passion and how much lore they have written for this game. I mean, they have specific jobs at Blizzard for the Warcraft division just on, they're called Lorebarians, and they just write and take care of lore and baby the lore. That's all they do.
Lorebarians.
Yeah. So, oddly enough, Quentin said that, you know, RIP EverQuest Next, but Steve DeNuser, who was writing the lore for EverQuest Next, went to go work on the lore team for WoW. So a lot of the EverQuest Next talent went to Blizzard to work on World of Warcraft.
That sounds about right.
So I think we're starting to see a lot of their work starting to come out, and I know for a fact a lot of their work is now starting to come out in this new expansion, because I do still stay in touch with a few of them. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time, because right now in the lore, they've officially have a openly gay couple from the last book, with Matthias Shaw and a sea captain. And they're going to be a quest giver that is a trans quest giver that was a male, I'm sorry, female in life, but now is male in the afterlife. And the writing for the quest line is so beautiful, and saying, I'm now my true self. And it's beautiful, and Blizzard's pushing for these things, and it's good stuff. And I'm very happy that Blizzard's doing that stuff. So I'm excited for this expansion.
Very good. Very good defense, because I was about to be like, this is just a copy, isn't it? This is just a straight-up copy.
It is not. It is not. And I think there's always that communication of, like, oh, it's just they're copying Final Fantasy now, and it's really not. Blizzard, I don't think, will go off and copy something. They will look at what somebody else is doing and say, I think we could do that better, and put a spin on it. That doesn't always work, but they will never copy a storyline from someone that is there too baby, like, they baby their story too much to and, like, not everybody likes it, but, you know, they do baby it. And I know a lot of podcasters that got hired to work on lore and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Hired
Chrissy Golden, who used to write their books, now works for Blizzard specifically on lore. Like, they baby their lore very much. Like, they're very protective of their story.
Okay. All right. Good on you, Blizzard. You got something going on. Something nice just happening. I appreciate that. I love a good lore. I love a good lorebrarian. Ugh, fucking Blizzard. Leave it to you. Okay. Well, that being said, what do we have next to do? Well, we're going to take a quick break, is what we're going to do. And then we're going to get into our one big story from the week, because it's been kind of quiet this week. Last week was a little more crazy with news, but this week we've got one story coming out of Riot and League of Legends. So when we return, we will be talking about that. So sit tight, and we'll be back with more show.
Questions still linger. Is Dice Tower Theater a high fantasy audio drama with a narrator, or a heroic audiobook with a full cast, sound effects, and original score? Can it be considered an actual play podcast when you never hear the fall of the dice or the conversation at the table? Listen to Dice Tower Theater on your favorite podcasting platform. And no matter what we are called, we hope you enjoy it.
ABC. this if I have to sing this stupid song one more time.
Good news, you don't. A group of podcast types have come together to bring you this collection of 20-second stories, interviews, and other ear candy to wash your hands by. Stay safe, stay well, and listen, rinse, repeat.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, as I said, Riot can't do anything right. We have some news from Riot and the LEC, which is the League of Legends European Championship. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. Earlier this week, the League of Legends European Championship announced a partnership with Neom, I think it's a weird name. Neom is a Saudi Arabian-backed city being constructed in the Middle East. It is being touted as a futuristic city running on 5G and other futuristic amenities. Fans and some LEC teams, however, were very upset with the partnership given the Saudi Arabian government's views on issues surrounding the LGBT community. Within a day, Riot withdrew the partnership, and it was later revealed that some LEC teams were not given a chance to vote on the partnership. So, this is kind of strange. If only because I have to wonder what was going through, like, Riot executives' minds when they did this, because it's like no secret how Saudi Arabia treats same-sex couples or being gay or transgendered. So I wonder if any of them had the forethought that would be like, maybe this is a bad idea. And if so, I wonder if they had any kind of thought where it was like, you know, yeah, this will be a bad idea, but maybe the backlash won't be as bad. You know, like, maybe someone was just like, you know, maybe it won't be so bad. Initial thoughts, I guess?
I mean, at this point, if Riot's first instinct is, I hope that the backlash isn't that bad, they probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my own quick thoughts on it, because I can't see that they would have said, okay, we want to partner with these people. And then some other people were like, okay, I guess. Like, I can't imagine that it went that kind of easily without there being much discussion about it. But then again, who knows? Maybe Riot was completely oblivious to everything.
That would be my guess. Based on just the... what I've heard of the internals of Riot, my guess is that they probably don't necessarily have someone constantly looking at all of these details for certain issues like this, or diversity issues or things like that, like inclusivity. And they really probably should at this point, but yeah.
I mean, considering as much hot water they've been in before that, but also to go back to the executives, money is probably money would have done it.
Sure. Yeah. But I don't know. It seems, is money that blinding where you're just kind of like, I mean, that's a dumbass question, I guess. But is money really that blinding where you're just going to go, yep, I'm all in for whatever you guys have to give me. Absolutely. Straight up, just give me the money and let's do this partnership. And then you're like, oh, shoot, we have some freaking gay players, don't we? Oh, this is going to be a problem. Maybe you shouldn't do this. But only after the fact, too, by the way. Like, it took the entire internet to be like, hell no, you won't do this. And I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me that they didn't think of this and just say no or let the teams vote anything. It's bad handling.
part of the whole thing around not letting the teams vote or know about it, that almost seems like they knew that there was going to be backlash. Sure. And were trying to avoid that.
It does seem that way. I mean, maybe they were trying to hide it for some reason. But I mean, you can't hide it for that long. Journalism.
Looking through some of these things, this city was going to have something close like $500 billion put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to build it very, very high tech. And I mean, assuming that you could pull off something like that pretty much anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
it would be a huge thing to be on the ground floor. And like, there's a really big potential for anyone who gets involved with that. But And assuming with all of that, especially if they're getting in at the beginning, there's going to be a lot of work with the very, very close working conditions. Mm-hmm. There is a very good chance that Riot had a very big incentive to get involved with all of this, especially since so many other companies might be a little bit more cognizant of these issues and are not interested in working with them.
See, I feel like it's going to be hard if Neom wants to get in with tech companies and with gaming companies, no less, it's going to be hard to avoid them. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are really upset with Tencent, mostly because of their seemingly quiet behavior when it comes to Hong Kong and the Chinese government. But I mean, Tencent has stock in everything. And mm-hmm. basically, if I'm not mistaken, owns Riot.
Yep.
So it's messy. I don't know that you can keep Neom from participating in your video games, but it's worked once. I don't think it'll work again, unfortunately. It's hard to say. It's made my heart drop into my stomach, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they don't participate with Riot, Neom can just go out and throw money and say, we're going to host esports events here, right? They can just post up the money and just post up the event, and people will go and play because, you know, players want mm-hmm. money. Players want to be able to go on stage, and they'll find players that are willing to say, I don't care what your views are. I want the cash. You know, fly me out to a dope city and put me in a hotel and do all this, and I'll play at my best, and they'll do it, you know, and they can just mm-hmm. work around not needing things because they can just say, all right, we'll hold our own event. And, you know, can you pay for private servers? Probably. I don't see why not. I'm sure there's plenty of people that host Fortnite events and stuff and along those lines that get permission from Epic. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if they throw money at Riot in other ways, I mean, it doesn't have to be something that's publicly known to people, as long as it's not Riot. It's like, we're, you know, they paid us for servers. They can host their own event and we're out. So,
I mean, we have seen that in other gaming competitions recently, though, with a large, I believe it was the fighting game community recently, had a large number of competitions and participants just pull out due to certain things. So I can definitely see how this might end up blowing up larger and people will want to avoid these sorts of events, or the companies will just start blocking these sorts of events they can just not allow it officially, I guess. Sure. And people being involved with those sorts of events just not being allowed in official events anymore.
Yeah. If they do it in an unofficial capacity, I think it would also take away the ability. I guess you would also have to make sure that Twitch is behind not streaming it, or YouTube mm-hmm. and anything major is not showing any participation in it. So then it's just going to a crowd that's there and paying for it to be there to witness it. It's hard. It's hard to say. Like, you know, I want companies to do what's right by their players, right? Absolutely, the people mm-hmm. that support them. You know, and unfortunately, I mean, if you executives at Riot and anybody that, you know, of course people have to vote on certain things, and there's board members and whatnot. And I'm hoping they're always going to vote to do the right thing. I'm not saying they will, but I want them to always vote to do the right thing. But there's always that case of how much, you know, the bottom line, how much money can we make off of this? And that always scares me because I always feel that money will win outright and versus the, you know, we'll deal with the, we'll deal with the bad press for however long it takes until, you know, it's just like, well, here we are. We have our money and now this is a thing, you know, and they may stay quiet about it or do separate events there just specifically, you know, for separate teams and do whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can, I don't want to say they'll find loopholes, but you know, they can, money talks. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. It seems to me that Riot hopefully has an opportunity to learn here, but it is also worth noting that, in 2018 and 2019, Riot did host some events in Saudi Arabia almost immediately following the murder of a Washington Post columnist by the name of Jamal Khashoggi, in Istanbul. So, it seems to me like if they aren't going to learn 2 years ago, 1 year ago, and hopefully maybe maybe they will have learned this year with what's happened. Like, maybe it's finally getting through to them that we are angry with them for doing these things.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Riot? Can you hear me, Francois Riot? I need you to listen to your fans and don't do bad shit.
I mean, they've done so much and so much like ever since. I know its name, his first name is Steve, and I apologize. I forget his last name.
Steven Riot.
No. The he used to work for Kotaku, but he left. But he kind of blew up the whole, like, you know, what was going on at Riot and like what, you know, breaking down like all the weird, like, you know, environment and like and stuff. It just seems like
a lot of harassment.
And Riot just, it seemed like a company that started off so small and blew up, and then as people were like, I want to work out, they just kept growing but still had that small mindset of not knowing what to do as a company. And I listened recently, I just listened to a great podcast about, like, you know, what if you're a small company or a small guild or something like that, like thinking about like harassment and things like that should be absolutely things you think about and how to handle and talk to HR reps or have somebody, if you have a friend that's in HR, ask them what you should do and have policies in place. And
absolutely.
I still feel like they make these rookie mistakes for a company that is so large and has so much money that they make these like weird, like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you making these like mistakes that other companies maybe wouldn't do? Because it's like, it's, you know, it's, this is bad for business. So
like, I'm not sure how familiar you are with a lot of the tech companies, and Riot's not much different in this aspect, but there are a large number of tech companies that are like that whole tech bro stereotype, where it's a lot of, like, it's a few people that start up that small company. They're very, very close. They not necessarily the most inclusive people, I guess, or they're like, there's, especially a lot of startups, they have like a very heavy drinking culture, going out after work or working late hours, all these sorts of like fairly negative behaviors. And from what I've heard, Riot's founders and a lot of the execs started with that mindset and they really never got out of it. So it's really hard to change the culture of a company when from the top you have that ingrained in it. So even if you tell them, hey, you guys need to do better, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do better, if they don't know how to become better themselves, it's very hard for the rest of the company to also do that. And especially a lot of the employees that are at lower levels in the company, they might really have these good ideas, but like as you mentioned before, they get drowned out or they get ignored or they eventually get harassed and leave.
Wow. So we have to change the culture. All right.
Yeah.
Well, time to apply to a bunch of jobs.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll do it.
On the other hand, with this as well, like, if Neil is really intent on building this sort of futuristic city, having a large esports presence, and it wants to have other companies join them in and come in with them, it is a potential opportunity for these companies and for that city itself to try to start changing the views of Saudi Arabia as well. It's a very, very long shot with there. Like, this would be like, hey, one in a million, this is amazing. But it is an opportunity, I guess, to open up that conversation and be like, hey, maybe you want to rethink some things.
That is a good point. Yeah, because they're basically building, like, the world's first cyberpunk city. They, mm-hmm. they've got to get on board with, like, you know, the rest of the world.
It's an opportunity.
Most of the world, I suppose.
Yeah, most.
Well, LEC and Neom, I wish you luck in a certain capacity. Well, that's really all the news for this week. So we're going to move along toward the end of the show. And as we do that, I always ask that you, the guest, give the listeners a recommendation on what games they should be playing or be on the lookout for. Quentin, since you're new, why don't you start us off?
Sure. I did mention the recent remake of Link's Awakening, but I'm not going to use that as my recommendation. I'm going to go with the slightly lesser known but incredibly fun Cadence of Hyrule. It's a Crypt of the Necrodancer style game, same developers for the Switch. It's a lot of fun. The music is just wonderful. And there's a lot of play. And I believe it has some DLC soon or recently to try out.
Very good. Very good. Peter.
Besides World of Warcraft, let's see. Frog Detective. Go play Frog Detective. It's the best.
I've heard about this. Yes, tell us.
Frog Detective is the best. If you need to escape for 2 hours, right, and you just need to have, and I honestly mean this, if you just need to have like just an hour or 2 hour, just sit with maybe you can even stream it with your friends and just play. The writing's beautiful. It's just a relaxing and funny written game. So go play Frog Detective. It's super cheap. You can get both games for like $8 on Steam. It's wonderful. It is the simplest of games, but also the funniest and cutest and best of games. So it's beautiful. I love it. It's got a jazzy soundtrack. It's great.
We stand a jazzy soundtrack. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do. So good.
I almost don't want to tell people to go play Death Stranding. simply because it's, I mean, I know people are going to go play it. But I think the only reason I will recommend it is because, I built a lot of roads, and if you get it, there's a chance that our games will like sync up and you will be able to use my roads, which should be an honor to you. And that's truly all I have to say about that. So go play Death Stranding, use the roads I've built for you, and I will automatically get likes. So, you know, you're welcome. And that's that. and finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug. Quentin.
You can find me over on Twitter at Shinter, Shyntyrr. That's pretty much where you can find me. I don't have anything else to plug. I will let Peter do the massive plug.
Excellent. Then take it away, sir.
Sure. You can find me personally at Flatus on Twitter. That's FLATTUSS, because the one without the extra S was taken by some guy. And you can find us at Maelstrom_radio on the Twitters, on Twatterton. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Maelstrom Radio. We do things. We stream on Sundays. I think Magicka is the Sunday, I believe. So
I hope so.
I hope so. If not, it'll be Frog Detective episode 2. And then maelstromradio.com, where you can find our Discord and all of our other stuff. And then, so that's what we got working on over there. And that's where you can find us. And we do fun things sometimes. And you should go listen to our last episode, by the way.
You should definitely listen to that one in particular.
Yeah. We had a really good guest that day.
It was a great guest.
Who was he?
Some guy named Jonathan Jace, I think.
Oh, JJ, my sworn enemy.
Yeah, JJ. You know, yeah, we had a comedy, and we had a game hosted by...
Yeah, we played... Some cool trivia
hosted by B Chills. You're gonna have to yeah, listen to find out what that meant, what that means.
Benji Chills. Gotta go listen out for B Chills hosting game shows and doing other stuff.
Ruined trivia.
Yeah. Being the best host he could possibly be.
Absolutely best. Couldn't ask for a better host.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. All right. Well, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. You can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WK Cooldown for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts or both. Both is nice too. Just, you know, do it. Please. Thanks. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And support your favorite charities and support the show, of course. Our logo is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Quentin.
And I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.